In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll admit, I about cracked myself up when I started the gospel reading. I was thinking of the knock-knock joke. Knock-knock, who's there? Banana. Banana who? And you go on and on and on to go, orange. Orange who? Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? Y'all remember that one? Aren't you glad I didn't say John? We've been reading from the Gospel of John, the same chapter, for 5 weeks. Now we're in Mark again, and it's good, and it's really a great bit of Jesus here, that Jesus and the boys are there, and the scribes and Pharisees, those ne'er-do-wells who come around and try to cause trouble, they notice, almost in passing, that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands. You would think they were kindergarten teachers. Did you wash your hands, Johnny? And the thing is, at this point in history, it's not even a matter of hygiene. They don't know what a germ is. They have no idea about cleanliness and bacteria and all those things that get on our grubby little hands. And we want to get rid of that before we eat. I have parishioners that always carry hand sanitizer with them. And before every meal, it's part of the ritual. And it's a good thing. It keeps us healthy. That's not what they were doing, though. This was ritual purity. I hate to use the example like raccoons, but washing their food when they get it home from the store just to make sure there's no ritual impurity to it. This is one of the things they did that they taught that you were supposed to do. And Jesus' disciples are a little more, or rather less, urbane, shall we say. They're fishermen. They're workers. They get food. They eat it. They're not too worried about the ritual stylings that you do. And so the Pharisees look down their noses at them. Your people don't wash their hands before they eat. What's going on here? And Jesus tells them what's going on. You people, we'll use for lack of a better word, you're just like Isaiah said. You worship God with your lips, but you don't do it right. And you're worried about washing hands instead of about really serving God and doing what God wants from you. Unfortunately, our lectionary skips over the best part of the story. It's worth digging out your Bibles and reading it. Jesus tells them it's not what comes out, what goes in that defiles you. We read that part. Because what you eat goes in the mouth, through the stomach, and out into the sewer. So let's face it, food is just pre-poop. Why are you worried about it? The important thing is what comes out of you. It's not what you're eating. And we're pretty glad for that because that means that, you know, bacon cheeseburgers are okay. Shrimp cocktail, fried catfish, they're all on the menu now. Because those aren't the things that defile you. Now, when Moses said back in Deuteronomy, you should keep these commandments forever, well, he kind of missed it because Jesus said, no, you don't have to anymore. And Jesus outranks Moses, in case you're keeping score. Because the problem was that God had given this great law. I mean, Moses says, when other people hear what law you have, they're going to be envious because it's awesome. And it really was a very fair and just law. The problem wasn't the law. The problem, as is always the issue, was sin. Because the problem with sin, and no, it's not Lent, but we're going to talk about sin for a little bit. The problem with sin is that sin corrupts everything. Even something as good and God-given as the law. God gave the law so this people could have an identity. They would be a people. Remember, he brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of a system that made sure they had no identity. You guys are reproducing too much. You need to work harder. You're not working hard enough. You need to make your own bricks. You're still not working hard enough. You need to make your own bricks and gather the straw to make the bricks and then build the buildings. They had no identity as a people, only as slaves. And so here they are on the eve of going into the promised land. And Moses is telling them, you have an identity. You are the Lord's people. And by keeping these laws, doing these things, that'll keep you as a sign that you're different. That you have an incredible God that you call upon. And that was the purpose of the law. But then there's sin. And sin corrupts and changes and perverts everything. And so rather than the law being a source of pride and identity, sin had corrupted it as a means of control and ridicule. let's twist the law and use it to our own purposes. Let's make you feel bad about yourself if you don't wash your hands. And Jesus calls them on it, calls them hypocrites for the things they're doing. Another one of my favorite bits of scripture is when he calls them whitewashed tombs. You're all pretty and nice on the outside, but instead of a sweet, chewy center, it's just death and decay. That's not the way the law is supposed to work. And so the law had done what it could do until sin finally corrupted it to the point it wasn't doing any good. And then Jesus came and fulfilled the law. All the good things that the law was intended to do came through in Jesus. Jesus did what the law couldn't do because the law was corrupted by sin. But Jesus was not, could not be. There was no sin in him. And so while the law had its purpose, Paul describes it as a nursemaid for a time to guide humanity until the real salvation could come in Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He didn't toss it out. He completed it. And there's a difference. I think I've given the example before, and it's not my own. But if you have to call a baseball game in the sixth inning because of rain, you didn't complete the game. It's not over. It was ended, but not completed. You get to the bottom of the ninth, and the score is not tied, and there's three outs. The game ends. You've reached its completion. And that's what happened in Jesus Christ. The law was completed. And that's why we say we no longer live under the law. It's not the law that ever made us righteous in the first place. But through Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. All the law is kept through Jesus Christ. And as Jesus taught us, really the law came down to two things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're doing that, you're keeping the law. Whether or not you washed your hands before you ate a pork chop. Which we can now do. Because it's not what goes in, it's what comes out. But that doesn't mean that we're absolved of all responsibility. We're still supposed to do the right things. We're still supposed to try to live good lives, lives that bring glory and honor to God. That when people see us and know that we are Christians, think that's a good thing. Unfortunately, there are still times when sin corrupts what is good. There are people who are Christians. C.S. Lewis would say they're not very good Christians. We shouldn't say they aren't Christians. They're just not very good at it. Who bring bad name to being a Christian. Because sin can corrupt anything except Christ. But Christians it can corrupt. Christians it can make greedy and seeking after power. And it can make us selfish and make us all kinds of things that our Lord would never want us to be. We strive to live good and pure lives, not so that God will love us more, but out of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Because we are saved, because we are given eternal life through Christ in God's eternal kingdom, that we try to express that in our lives with a joy, with a love that comes from knowing that we are loved of God. And that should overflow out of us into every person we meet, that we are so full of God's love that it can't help but burst forth. We have to be mindful. Sin is still there. Sin will still try to corrupt that. Sin will still use things to its own end instead of to God's end. So let us pray for the grace, for that love that fills us through God will burst forth from us, that others will see and share in the wonder that is our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.